Hello, everyone, and welcome to Teach Me Teacher, a podcast for educators where we, the teachers, become students ourselves. I'm your host, Jacob Chastain, and today it is my pleasure to bring you Ryan Sheehy, author, speaker, and principal at Highlands Elementary in California. And we're here to talk about his new book, Be the One for Kids, and how we all have the power to change the life of a child. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it is my pleasure, especially, you know, thank you for giving the time because we are at the end of our day on Tuesday, classic Teach Me Teacher fashion, but both at the end, and I'm sure, you know, as a principal, you got all kinds of things going on. So I do appreciate you taking the time out to come talk to us on the podcast.
Absolutely. I'm excited to be here, excited to do this. Even though it's a Tuesday afternoon, I'm pumped.
I know. You know what? It was funny because throughout the day we were, you know, at the end of the day, we let kids go outside because they were cooped up all day. We're doing our standardized testing over here in Texas for all my Texas teachers listening. You're feeling my pain. but we let them go outside and run around. And I was like, man, I'm getting so tired. I hope I have energy. And then as soon as I set up the podcast and the mic, I was like, oh, it's on like Donkey Kong. I love this podcast. I love talking to people. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Ryan, let's go ahead. For people who don't know you, don't follow you on Twitter or wherever you're at, what's your background? What do you do currently? And tell us a little bit about this new project you got going on.
Yeah. So my name is Ryan Sheehy. I grew up in San Diego, and I'm actually the second oldest of eight kids.
Boom.
And so kind of my journey into education started young, you know, by being that older brother, you know, guiding through everybody through different tasks and projects, and have a pretty diverse education background myself. I went to public school, kindergarten, first and second, and then got homeschooled third, fourth, and fifth grade, and then got put into private school sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And there was six kids in my sixth grade class, six boys. And then seventh grade, I think we picked up two girls. And then by eighth grade, I think we were up to a whopping 13 kids in the entire eighth grade. And then I went to public high school. So got to see a little bit of everything. Went to community college, met my wife there, and transferred back up to Northern California, where she's from, and just got into education, got in as a physical education teacher, and just absolutely loved building those relationships with kids and really digging deep into relationships and building school memories that last a lifetime. Something bigger in education. So I decided it was the time to take that leap into being a vice principal. So put some feelers out there, ended up at a high school, pretty big high school in a neighboring district, back into actually where I started teaching on the same district. And from there, just got my feet wet and, everything. My principal was pretty great to kind of no micromanaging, just really letting us take the reins on what we wanted to do. And I was in charge of leadership was one of the areas. And I really got to see that school culture piece and how we can change that. I did that for a few years and then landed this position as principal here at Highlands Elementary School, where we're just rocking and rolling. We're doing some really great things for kids. And it's a lot of fun to get to play that role after being the teacher. So I was a PE teacher for about 11 years. And, you know, kind of, I started off, it was weird because my degree posted in mid-February and I started teaching the next day. I got a job, which was pretty awesome. I took over a fourth and fifth grade elementary PE position where I had six different schools that I would travel to. And I had two senior instructional aides that came with me. And I had anywhere between 90 and 120 kids at a time. So I saw so many different kids. I did that for a couple years. And then I transitioned to a middle school where I taught sixth, seventh, and eighth grade PE. Was a blast. Awesome. Just after a couple years, left there to a neighboring district for some family reasons. And worked at elementary school, and I was working as an 80% teacher, didn't work on Fridays. And 2 months into the school year, a high school principal reached out to me. And she said, hey, Ryan, I'd love for you to come teach at high school as well. So I readjusted my schedule. I worked elementary in the morning and high school in the afternoon. Oh, and man. So I've So I've got the K-12 experience. I've got to see it all and kind of experience so many different school campuses. And that's one of the unique things to me is, yeah, I haven't been in education that long, but I have seen many different schools. I think last time I counted, I was up to 15 school sites that I've worked at.
Oh, man.
So I've got to see a lot of different school cultures, a lot of climates, seeing what some leaders do and what others leaders do, how staff rooms are, and just really examined all that.
Yeah, I mean, you can't say enough about getting experience from K through 12, especially if you want to go into that that leadership role, just because, you know, of the people that I've talked to, some of the things, like the people who go into leadership who haven't had that experience, a lot of them are like, man, I really wish I had, you know, taught at elementary school at least for like a year or two, just to like see what it was like, because it is, I guess there could be a culture shock or like a human shock, I guess, that's just absolutely. Like, oh, these people are tiny, or the other way, and like, these people are my size. Like,
exactly. It's funny, because I remember first day walking onto a high school campus, I looked up and I'm like, oh my gosh, everybody's as big as me or bigger. And then my first day back at an elementary principal, I'm like, wow, these kids are tiny, you know. But at the end of the day, they're all kids, and they all need somebody to believe in them, and that's why we do this work.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, see, I like kind of the way you worded why you went into administrative leadership and that role, is because, as you know, I'm getting more, you know, I haven't been a teacher that many years, and I love what I do, but more and more I'm like, I want to be that person who gets to help other teachers in a lot of ways. I mean, that's obviously why I do the podcast, but like, I want to reach out and like, I want to shield them from all the craziness that happens around teachers, you know, and just say, be awesome. Because over the experiences of talking to so many people on the podcast and just talking to teachers, you know, at a school and at trainings, you always run into teachers who feel like they can't do stuff because of this and that reason, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of that comes down to like leadership. And sometimes it's not the leadership, it's not their principal, it's district or someone like that doing something to make them feel restricted, whether it's actually there or not. And that's, I think, not enough to be said about leaders who can look at their school and say, okay, you guys be awesome. We're gonna do us, right? Do you find that it's difficult in a principal role to get your teachers to feel comfortable with doing certain things? Or how do you approach that relationship between you and your teachers?
Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, every school is different, obviously. I think my position was unique, that I was following somebody that wasn't loved, you know, and I think that gave me a unique opportunity, you know, and to really come in and empower my teachers. I spent a lot of time in the classroom. You know, I try to get into every classroom every day. That's kind of my goal. Now, I'm not in there for hours at a time, but I'm in there because I wanted to break down, and especially at the beginning, I want to really break down those barriers, make them know that, hey, I'm not in there for those gotcha moments. I have no problem. Let me take over the class. Let me show you. Let me learn with you and teach with you. It's a team sport, you know, and I think that's why I gravitated towards education from the get-go. I was an athlete. I love doing that kind of stuff. I love the team aspect, and I think that the bigger our team, the stronger that we can be. And if we can build that at every school site, we're going to be so much stronger, and education is unstoppable. I think talking with each other and sharing each other's story with one another helps us in the biggest way, because it gives us perspective, right? I think if there's one thing I could change in education, it's that you have to go and see other school sites. You have to experience what others are feeling at their school site, because we all have issues, right? Every school has its issues. Every school has its triumphs. Every school has its positives, negatives. But I don't necessarily know those unless I've experienced it, unless I've seen it firsthand. Yeah, I hear what people say. People always tell me that. But it's a different thing to experience it. Diverse background that I do, that I've had the opportunity to go and see many different school sites, see the positives, see the negatives, see the triumphs, see the failures, has given me that perspective. And I can share that with my teachers, which helps us. It helps us break down those barriers. But first and foremost, if you can go and experience, that's even better.
Love that you're saying that, because everything, it is super hard to... It's really like teaching is like a profession. Like, you can't be in a vacuum, right? You can't get sucked into your own little world. Like, you kind of have to force yourself to see other things and to talk to other people and really like, cause it's so easy. Like for us, for instance, you know, we go look at our data, right. Of us compared to other schools or something like that. And it's so easy to like judge schools based on that, but there's pieces in so many areas. And what we're struggling with here, another school might not be struggling with, but they might be having a total different level of struggle in different areas.
And our data doesn't tell the story, doesn't tell the backstory, right? Yeah. It only tells just a split version of it, you know, what's going on paper and the pencil, you know? And that's a conversation that I've been having with my parent community, because if you look at our test scores, they've stagnated or have gone down a little bit. However, there are so many different things happening in the background now that we're trying to work on that, obviously. That's what we would love to have our test scores super high, but that's not who we are. That doesn't define us. That's just part of who we are. And I think that's the big piece to remember is that first and foremost, these are kids, elementary, middle, or high, doesn't matter. These are kids, and that's what we invest in. We don't invest in the test scores. The test scores will come if we invest in our kids.
You know, testing, I think it's on our minds because it's that time of year. But this idea, so our school, we've always struggled. We've always had pretty regularly, our school is the lowest of the middle schools in our district, right? And it's real easy to like go, oh, you know, we're always like this or whatever. But like the changes we've made just from the beginning, when I first started here to now, culture wise, respect wise, like respect for like, we have kids reading more books than they've ever read. They're doing higher level math than they've ever done. There's a level of respect and like learning how to be a human being, right? That didn't exist here when I got here. Like, I mean, there was like, I mean, it was, we were literally like the shadow school for a long time. but those changes don't show up on data a lot of the ways. And things do go up and the scores, like you said, do come. But they're not, you know, it's not going to jump from whatever, like let's just say a number, 50% pass rate to 80%. Like it doesn't happen like that. It's those gains pieces. And that's when you, like we have to like really think about, do we want growth and gains for the whole child or do we just want them to have higher test scores?
Exactly. And I think that, you know, it's that mindset. We got to change the mindset and we got to change each other's mindset, our teachers or every staff member, and then our students. Right. But we got to believe it first. You know, we got to believe in our kids and show them that we believe in them. It's not just like, hey, I believe in you. I know you can do this. No, let's show it. Show up every day, pumped, excited, and be that person that never talks negative, right, about your kids and, you know, about your school. Yeah, we might be the lowest test scores in the district of our middle school, whatever that may be. But the bottom line is, I know we're going places. We're going places and we're doing it together. And I, you know, and just really empower each other and be that model. I'm a huge person that believes in model. I mean, that may be my, the PE teacher in me, you know, is that we modeled everything, but I really am a strong believer that we model the behavior that we want to see, not only in each other, but in our students and our community. And, the test scores will come. Test scores will come.
Do you think, and this is going to directly connect to the message of your book, I think, but do you think that it's challenging to get everyone on board, say like maybe the school's struggling culturally, or maybe they're struggling academically, or maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe the morale of staff is kind of waning in some areas. Do you think it's really challenging to get everyone to that point to where we're all just going to go, all right, we're going to do this. We're all going to give it 100%. We're going to be in this together. We're going to be this unstoppable force of positivity to where it's literally impossible for anything to stop us. Like, is that a really lofty goal, or like, how do you see that?
Yeah. There's no magic potion. There's no switch, you know? And I think you have to look at it as it's a process, you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. I'm an energetic guy. I'm a passionate guy. I came in this place gun blazing, you know, and I was ready to go. I was just excited, pumped up, thinking that we could change the world, and we are, but it takes time, you know? Yeah, do we have some amazing rock stars that are doing everything that we're putting out? Absolutely. Do we have some areas of growth? 100%. Yes. So do I think it's a lofty goal? No. But do I think it's a lofty goal to say we're gonna transform overnight? Yeah, I do. But it all starts with belief. It starts with that mindset, you know. And if once we can create that where everybody wants to truly be that person and be that one person that can make a difference, that's gonna be the key. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's a teacher at a struggling school. And, you know, I'm talking to him. He and I have some different philosophies. My wife, you know, she always laughs because whenever we start education conversations, we end up getting in an argument, you know. And he's like, he's telling me something about what's happening at school. And he's like, you know, well, somebody's going to need to fix it. I say, well, why don't you try? Well, that's not my job. And, you know, that stuff, that gets under my skin. I'm like, wait, you want to see the difference. You want to see the impact. You want things to change and positively progress, but you're not willing to be that person to do something about it because it's not in your job description. I'm sorry. None of this is in our job description. We're here together. We're here to be better. And until we can take those job descriptions, throw them out the window and say, we're here to do whatever it takes every day for these kids, then nothing's going to happen. So it's really changing that mindset. And really having those deep conversations. And you know what? Hey, the train's going this way. If you need to take a detour and get off the train, I completely understand. But this is the direction we're going. And there's some level of expectations, right? And that's not always easy to hear. I've been in plenty of situations where, you know what? The train was going in a way that I didn't want to be. You know, I worked in a very affluent area that every student that came to my school, they were coming from $1 million homes. You know, and the district treated its employees really well. However, they were 100% concentrated on test scores, and that's not who I am. I really believe in that whole child approach and developing not just academics, but everything, you know, life. I want to produce good people at the end of the day. And that was a decision that I had to make. I said, hey, you know what? I got to leave. I can't do this. This is not the direction I want to go. And that's the hard thing as educators and as people that we have to make. And I think that if you could have those real intentional conversations with each other, teacher to teacher, administrator to teacher, staff to staff, whatever it may be, I mean, it starts from the ground floor. You know, if our lunchroom isn't happy, if our custodians aren't happy, if they don't have that mentality, even if all our teachers are on board, it's not going to happen. It needs to be everybody.
I've run into so many people who, like, well, you know, it could be any training. Doesn't matter what it is, but if it's good stuff, right? Like if we're learning about independent reading, getting kids to be independent readers, or learning how to use Kagan structures, you know, insert whatever training you want to go to. Yeah. There's always, in the realm of positivity that happens, I've always run into people who are like, well, you know, we can't do that, or we're not allowed to do stuff like this. And, you know, it's always that. And I've posted videos of my coworkers and I, you know, doing room transformations and stuff like that. And, you know, it's never a lot of people, but one person jumps in. Oh, well, you didn't follow fire code there. You know, that's dangerous. And it's like, what is wrong with you? Like, this is like the teachers, the people who are really trying to do something and the people that want to, I feel like, sometimes some people are really like conscious of that. Like, I love it when people are kind of naysayer to me because it makes me want to prove them wrong. But not everyone responds that way. A lot of people are go, oh, you know what? Maybe I should do this. And I think a lot of really teachers who are like on the verge of like letting their creativity go and just busting out and being amazing, I think a lot of them get held back by that naysayer attitude that could be within a school, within people that are on campus or people they know. Do you see that at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you have these people that come in with all this energy and passion, and then, you know, they get a couple of different remarks and it's like, okay, let me reevaluate myself, you know? And it's like, no, keep going, keep doing what you're doing. You know, we got to drown out that negative. And, you know, and it's like, it's what I talk a lot about with different school administrators is like, you know, who's telling your story, you know, who's shaping the conversation around your school. Right? Yeah. You're going to have naysayers, but we're hoping that positivity is going to drown out the negativity. And the same thing goes with our teachers, you know, and there's always going to be that curmudgeon that, you know, wants you to do something, you know, that doesn't, oh, you shouldn't do that. You know, that's, oh, now that's outside of contract time or, you know, this, that, or the other. And it's like, no, we got to do this, you know? And I think for me, what I try to do as an educator is reach out to those people that I'm seeing doing some awesome stuff and encourage them. I might not know them, but I'm going to encourage them because I see what they're doing on social media and I see that positivity. Same thing here at the school, you know, school level. If I see somebody doing some awesome things, I'm going to call them on and say, hey, great job. Now they might get some negative feedback from another person, but they got positive from me. So hopefully those counteract each other a little bit and keep, you know, keep that positivity up. I mean, it still happens to me. on a daily basis, you know, and I feel like I'm rocking and rolling, you know, doing some good things. And then, you know, suddenly I get hit with a brick wall and it's like, hey, why are you doing this? Why'd you choose to do this? You know? And it's like, and then I know, like, for me, I do a lot of self-reflection. Sometimes that hurts, you know, and it's not, but at the end of the day, I know what I'm doing is right. And I know what I'm doing is good for everybody. And it's like, I've tried to take that and it's not just, I'm not focusing on my own personal family anymore. I'm not focusing necessarily only on my school family either. I'm going bigger. I'm big going global, you know, and I'm trying to do that. So it happens to all of us. And I think that there needs to be a little bit of reflection on it. It's not necessarily who cares, you know, because most of the time people care, but it's like, hey, you know what? Bring it back to my why and move on.
Global thinking is, you know, I kind of got that vibe. You know, because I do that. Everything I do, anything I'm passionate about, it's always connected to a bigger idea, right? I'm always like, you know, I'm not a teacher. You know, I do love kids and I love education and stuff like that, but I'm a teacher because I truly believe that it fundamentally changes the course of history. Like, I'm totally of that mindset. And this is thing, you know, I podcast because I'm like, you know what? One person can listen to this and then that can help someone else. And then this can help someone else. And then we can have all of these teachers really all across the globe. You know, I had a guy email me from freaking Pakistan talking about education. And I'm like, what world do we live in? Like, this is like, and that, but that stuff fuels me. And that, but this idea of being in your classroom and being so set in your idea of, I know what I'm doing's right. And, you know, there, I might disagree with my partner, right? Like, you disagreed with your friend, or I might disagree in some instances with a principal, or I might disagree with the district. But in the end, like, your room is your room, right? And if you don't, if you're in a situation to where people don't support you at all, then yeah, do what you did, right? Jump off the bus, take a detour, go somewhere else. But hopefully you're with people who, the people that matter encourage you, right? And I think leaders, like, I think that's really the role of a leader, right? Is to support people when they're doing great stuff.
For sure. You know, and really, and just be able to have those conversations, those listening, you know, I have people that don't agree with me all the time and that's fine, but I want to know why. We just don't do things just to do things, you know, and we need to stop doing things because that's how we always did things, you know? And it's really like, hey, you know, what's the reason behind it? And you know what, if it's good at kids, let's go, let's do it.
All right, so let's talk about Be the One for Kids, okay? So this is your brand new book. I mean, like, brand, it just came out a few weeks ago. If you're listening to this right now, pause the podcast, go buy the book because it's absolutely amazing. But it's totally worth it. There'll be a link in the show. If you're listening on the if you're going to the website, just go straight to us. I'll have a link for it. It'll also be shared on Facebook and Twitter. But Be the One for Kids. It is, I love this idea, and we've already hit on some of the points of it through our conversation. But this idea that, you know what, I love it because it cuts out the crap. You know what I mean? It cuts out the excuses. Could you go ahead, for anyone who hasn't seen the book or whatever, just give us kind of a background on what the general messages of the book, then we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, the general message of the book is that, you know, every educator has the power to change the life of a child, and now's the time to unleash your power, you know, and it came from a spot where I was sitting, like I said before, I've been in many different staff rooms, and I sat there and I listened, you know, I wasn't necessarily part of a staff, so I didn't really, wasn't, you know, invited to that lunch table, you know, I wasn't one of the cool kids on the campus, so I sat in the corner and I just listened, and it was always kind of like, well, no, that shouldn't be me. Why me? I shouldn't do that. And it's like, no, enough's enough. We got to be the one. Be the one for kids and be the one that can change their lives.
I'm always interested when I get you guys on who have these books out because, you know, I'm in the process of writing my own thing. But like when I'm writing, I always find myself like doubting like my central message. Cause once you write, you know, you can start really well. You know, once you get into like that 100-page realm and a little bit farther, like you start, like for me at least, I go, you know what? Like, it's like, I'm trying to zone in on my central message, right? Cause it's real easy to kind of trail. When you were writing this and thinking about what it means to be the one and what that message really means when someone else is going to read it, did you have any of those moments of doubt where you were not doubting the message, but doubting how to bring it across in the book?
You know, I think that the way I got to the message is different than others because I started blogging, you know, and I started blogging with no intent to write a book, but I just wanted to share my stories, you know, and share my passion. And so I was writing, and I don't know how far into the blog process. I was putting out like 2-3 blogs a week. I was blogging a lot. And suddenly I ended one of the blogs and it was like, be the one who advocates. And then I was like, ooh, be the one. I like that. Okay. You know, that works. And then so suddenly that's how I ended everything, was like, be the one who did this. And, you know, and it's like, oh, okay, there's something there, you know? And my readership increased, you know, I was up at like, you know, about 30,000 readers. And I was like, hey, I think I got something there. I think that's really a message that can resonate. And then as I sat down and I started writing, you know, and just writing out my stories. I mean, Be the One for Kids is a book of stories. It's my soul coming to life on pages. And, you know, if it's not my story, it's one of my family members. It's an education story, me growing up as a child. My wife's in there. There's a story about my wife in there, and just different things that happen through education. So was there doubts? Not really, just because they're real life stories, you know, of things that happen and just how one person can make that difference. And my message to me is pretty clear. And it's something that I believe so strongly in. And I believe they can just change an educator's life if they can change that mentality to being the one.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening to part one with Ryan Sheehy. We will be back next Monday to bring you part two. I'm telling you, his book is amazing. Go to the show notes in this episode, buy his book, support his work. It is absolutely amazing. For everything else, go to teachmeteacherpodcast.com. We can get every episode straight to the device of choice. If you would like to go subscribe on iTunes, hit that star button, hit that review button. Those things help other teachers find the show that you are listening to right now. So if you support the show, support us on iTunes. For everything else, ladies and gentlemen, have a good one.